Okay, let's get going on this. Always. We good?
You okay?
Yeah, I think we're good. All right, well, welcome. Good morning, everybody on the West Coast, and good afternoon to the rest of the United States. Everybody's probably starving if you live anywhere but on the West Coast, because it's like way past lunchtime, all right? So anyway, my name is Mark Clifton. I work for Dell. I work in the Executive Briefing Center in Austin, and been there about 8 or 9 years, and wanted to show you some ways to integrate OpenManage into your virtual infrastructure today. So just to get an idea of the room, it's a small room, so I hope it'll be interactive and questions, and we'll get some good feedback on what we could do to improve this and whether or not this is useful to you guys. So quick show of hands, how many people are using VI3 today? Okay. Anybody not using it, planning on going to it in the next 6 to 8 months, evaluating it? Okay. So the rest of you, pretty much. How many of you guys are on Dell today? Majority of people. Okay, great. How many of you are using OpenManage today? Okay, that's about what I thought, about half. All right, so what I'm going to hopefully show you is some reasons to look at using OpenManage and how we can integrate all this together and make your lives easier. Okay? So what we're hoping to show you is how to automate some of the tasks that you would have to do. Okay? This is something that might occur in the middle of the night. This is something that you might want to do simply because you don't feel like watching and babysitting your servers all the time. And this just may be predictive failure trying to accommodate for any kind of server problems you might have. So we can do a little bit of risk mitigation by integrating all this together and automating if you have problems. What I'm really hoping to show you is that we're not selling you anything. These are going to be scripts freely available for you guys to download, and you will be able to integrate this into your infrastructure and automate the failover and failure of these things. So let's give you a standard day-to-day environment. Let's say that we have 4 servers here, and we have a server. Let's say we have a hard drive problem, or perhaps somebody's tripped over a power cord and we're running low on battery. Whatever it is, we've generated a hardware level alert. Okay? We're going to take that alert and we're going to capture that with IT Assistant. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, IT Assistant is a product that Dell uses as part of their OpenManage strategy. It's no charge to you, and it is absolutely not mandatory to be used. So if you're sitting there thinking, that's great, but I've already spent some money on buying another management console, whatever that console might be. Super. Let's use that console instead. I just used IT Assistant in this example because it is already freely available from Dell. So anything that can capture SNMP traps will work fine. So you can insert your product where it says IT Assistant if applicable. Okay, if not, use IT Assistant. It actually works quite well, and it's no charge to you. So we capture the alert here, letting us know that that server is not healthy. So we send that alert over to Virtual Center, and let Virtual Center know that that server is not healthy. Okay, so if you think of the premise of if you're sick, don't come into work today, right? That's the idea. Virtual Center is then going to put that ESX host into maintenance mode automatically, or automagically, as we like to say nowadays. So we're going to go ahead and vMotion based off of DRS. Okay, so we do take advantage of the built-in features of DRS here. So we're going to go automatically move those servers, load balance those VMs off of that server. So if this was 3 a.m. and you lost a hard drive and your RAID integrity is now degraded, pretty cool, right? Now we can automatically move everything off. You come in the morning, hey, I had a RAID failure, this server is not healthy, I've automatically mitigated my risk by moving all my VMs somewhere else. Great, I've replaced the hard drive, everything gets good. So we've got no outages. If that server did happen to crash because we lost another hard drive or the power went ahead and went out, maybe we were on a UPS and at 20 minutes we got an alert and said get everything off of that, then we lost the power, it went back out. Okay, so now you come in the morning, you fixed your problem, everything's great, we resolve the alert. Once that alert status is resolved, we're going to go ahead and take that server out of maintenance mode, again, automatically. Nothing that you have to do. You just have to solve the problem. This could be through a third party. Maybe you lose a hard drive. Dell 4-hour service shows up, pulls a bad hard drive, plugs a new hard drive in. RAID 5 automatically rebuilds. You don't even have to know about it. You were automatically protected by moving off your workload from that environment. Then when the problem was resolved, it automatically came back on. Maybe facilities was just testing the battery at 3 a.m., testing the power in the battery, making sure everything worked well. Automatically move your entire workload off in case there was a failure and the batteries didn't come back online or the generator didn't kick in or what have you, so we can automatically move back on again. So that's one of the set of scripts that we're here to show you, and again, these will be freely available, certainly by the end of the month, preferably by the end of next week, but it will be available at dell.com/VMware or /virtualization, and there's a page to that at the end of this. So that's really the idea. Now, of course, we do need shared storage. All the standard requirements are going to be there, shared storage for vMotion, the ability to vMotion between somewhat like machines. So if you have a 3.5-year-old server and a brand new, obviously we're not going to be able to vMotion between those. But given most DRS clusters, this is a very, very nice scenario. Any questions on what this means and is this inherently obviously useful to you guys? Yeah? What a head nod. They will. You can choose. It's a very great question. IT Assistant will execute from local. Okay, so it depends. If you're using IT Assistant, those scripts will reside locally, because what you're really doing is just simply saying, if I receive a trap from that server, run this script. If I receive a trap from any of my ESX servers, run this script, and it's going to pass the parameter that says this name server, run this script against it. So if you were running something else. What's up gold, whatever it is, people run all different kinds and flavors. As long as you can capture an SNMP trap, identify where that trap came from, and execute an application, in this case a script, you're covered. Wherever you run that from, that's all. Wherever you capture your trap and can kick off a script is where you'll run it from. So it's real simple. There's no extra setup required for this. You can run this on the same... You can run IT Assistant in a VM. I don't necessarily recommend running it in the VM in the same cluster that you're trying to monitor, just in case there was a problem. You wouldn't catch the script if you had a catastrophic failure, right? You always have the one guy that comes by and trips over the whole, somehow unplugs both power cords at the same time. Some of those things you just can't account for. So nonetheless, this is a really good free way to add a layer of protection to your environment that will hopefully let you sleep a little bit better at night, give you better uptime availability, and really takes advantages of all the capabilities of moving the VMs around. So this is taking DRS and vMotion, obviously, which is underlying for DRS, and taking the core Dell OpenManage and just tying them together. Did you have a question?
So the ESX server generates, OpenManage generates that SNMP drop?
Right. You will want to put OpenManage Server Administrator on the ESX servers. So that's why I asked who's running it. About half the people are. Go ahead and put that on there, because that's what you're going to have to use to generate your trap.
And that's, it'll watch the hardware failure, then it'll generate the trap.
Yeah.
Is that SNMP level 1, 3?
1. Yeah. Yeah. If you're worried about the security of SNMP, then we can have an offline on how we can help you with that. But nobody else has really moved from SNMP 1, so you have to play to the least common denominator. Yeah, go ahead.
Will there be a new version of server?
501 is perfect. That's what I'm using today. So this will run against what you guys have freely available today. And so no changes. Again, the point here is this should be simple. This is something you could do before you go home if you had the script. Right? I mean, it really should be fairly straightforward. You go ahead and you put the IP address and username and password and you identify it. Yeah, go ahead.
What kind of alerts are generated? Different, like you said, right?
Yeah, there's a whole host, and actually I can flip over and show you some of the alerts that we can look at, actually, and I can show you can get. Let me just show you what we can see. What I would recommend is make it simple, and by that I mean you can just have it say that if you get an alert. If you have an alert from that server, you can filter what level what you do with those alerts, and that would have to be done through that product that you were just talking about. Whatever. Do you have a... Well, here's the amount of things. What I would recommend is there a particular alert that you don't want to run a script on? That's fair, and you can do it two different places. You can either do it, you can set up a filter where you capture it. In this case, IT Assistant, I can set up my filters very easily to say, all CPU and memory failures run this script, or what more appropriately, what we usually do is determine by severity. So if it's an informational, don't run a script, just shoot me an email, maybe shoot a pager to an on-site tech, something like that. If it's a critical alert, I don't care whether it's a fan or a CPU, if it's critical, get your workload off of that.
Okay, so it'll classify as critical.
Yeah, you can go through here and determine what you do exactly. Feeling a little green? Anybody else queasy? Too much to drink? Hungry? So here's a server administrator. Let me try to rearrange a few exciting things for you. I think they're afraid I'm going to run off with this VGA cord because they give you like 86 inches. Afraid I'm going to run for the door with this thing. Okay, so here's from an OMSA standpoint, which is a server administrator. This is the agent sitting on the ESX server that I'm looking at. And I can monitor the health of all these different items, and I can determine based, again, on severity alone. Or I might say, you know what, my temperature fluctuates all the time, and I don't care. I don't know why, but let's just say, you know, you could go through and either turn off that alert from this ESX server specifically, or you can go in and just unfilter that trap. Right. If you want this specific ESX server to not generate traps, then yeah, you would do that. The easier way to do it is to filter it where you're capturing the traps. And I can show you. Let me show you on. For instance, with for me, surely this thing can do two at the same time. I could be assuming wrong. Right on. Okay, so here's IT Assistant, just to give you an example. I can go through and set the... So I can look at this, and I can set my filters. Under alerts, I could go through and look at my filters. And this is the script that I have running, and I have it running against any and everything just because it's for demo purposes in this environment. But you can set this to I thought I did filter. There we go. You can set this to do against informational or critical or different types of alerts. So if I go through here, I can set it, and certain servers too, you can have it so that, you know, obviously you don't want to try to run a script if your Exchange server generates a hard drive failure. All right, so you set the filtering at this point. So we'll come back to that. I think it'll be a little bit easier to come back as we work through the demo piece of this. So. Any other questions on that? The point here is that this isn't anything that's going to take you a week's worth of engineering time to go figure out. Hopefully this is something you guys can go back and do fairly simply. It's something we're providing for you free of charge. There's going to be a white paper how-to sort of step-through guide that will be available with this as well. So you can walk through it. Yeah? No. Doesn't. Good question. The agent does not require reboot. Okay, so we have request return normal operation. So this is the sort of low-hanging fruit of what we're going to talk about today. I think this is critical that you guys can go implement this and move about. A little bit further down the road, and this is something that's going to be a little bit harder to implement right up front, but I think it and it may or may not be as applicable to everybody, but I think the implications of it are really, really neat. And that is the ability to manage your servers in the data center to turn them off and on as you need them. All right, so what we're doing is we're taking this basic principle a little bit further and saying if I don't need that server power, let's turn that server off. And you can set those thresholds. Obviously, there's a little bit more configuration from your standpoint. Is, you know, what's my minimum threshold, my maximum threshold off a CPU? We'll show you a couple of those things. But if you read what Gartner says about this, we're wasting a lot of money and energy. We really are. We leave servers on. We turn off the lights when we go home. Boy, that helps, right? That's great. I'm sure we power down, you know, the laptops go to sleep, so that, yeah, that helps a little bit. There's all kinds of efforts underway, but the truth of the matter is if we leave our servers running all night, doing nothing, we're just wasting power. And we're wasting cooling. Right? Because it takes as much energy to cool it, roughly, as it does to power it. So that's kind of silly. Not only that, but if you look, most servers have a peak utilization where you're actually more inefficient with your power when you're under less load. So if you have a server running at 12% utilization, you're actually more inefficient running at 12% than you are when you're running at 50%. Huh. So let's go ahead and put our utilization back up into the sweet part of the curve where we're getting the most bang for our buck, and we're generating less heat per megahertz when we're at that point because we're more efficient with it, which means it takes less to cool it. So it's a win on all sides of things. We just need to go ahead and put those servers into higher utilization. So what we've done is, again, it's scripting, and these will be released at the same time, and there will be a white paper with this as well on how to do this and show you where you can edit your parameters. And this is something that I think will evolve, and I think you're going to see that this is going to be serious enough play in the industry where you'll see some people make some better passes at this. But we want to provide this to you today. And if this is important to you, we're going to show you how to do it, and we're going to help you do it through a white paper. This can also be specific to a DRS cluster. You may decide that this is the most important thing on Earth, and I don't really want this cluster to ever be powered down. And any servers, maybe it's a remote site where there's nobody there, and you have a fear of there being a failure, so you don't ever want to power it down. So you can make this cluster specific, and you can determine which ones participate and what your business needs are going to determine the parameters around this. Okay? So you may want to be very aggressive and power servers down and back up based off of the fact that at 5 o'clock, what happens? People go home, right? So what happens to your server utilization? It drops. What happens at 7 o'clock? The really hardworking people then go home. Okay? So what happens? You drop more server utilization. But then what happens at midnight? Or maybe 9 o'clock. Backups kick on. So now we've got different utilization. So your environment's going to be different. Maybe you run your backups during the day. Maybe you don't run backups. Right? It's a frightening thought, but I won't ask the number of people here don't run backups. That answer scares me. I really won't. But the point is that, you know, your utilization is going to be different, and your curve and your time of day is going to be different. So you can customize this. This isn't a preset one size fits all. We're trying to make this available for you guys to do it as your environment needs it. That's orange on my screen, but that's okay. So what we're talking about is, let's say that during the day you have something around 80% utilization, and your resource pool configures this down below is something around 84 gigahertz and 60 gigs of memory. Okay, so that's about where we are. So we start having these VMs sort of power themselves down to the point where they're not really drawing any kind of load off of the servers. Right? You guys want to see that again? That's pretty cool, right? See the little power, the VMs power off? So we've got these things dropped down, and now our demand has begun to decrease. Maybe it's 5 o'clock, maybe it's the weekend. You know, maybe there's a baseball game in the middle of the day and everybody went to it. Who knows? Whatever reason, we've lost our overall demand, so we're down to about 50% utilization. So at that point, we're gonna, once our low threshold is hit, and that's determined by you, okay? Once that threshold has been hit, we're gonna go ahead and vMotion, again, using DRS. So those of you who aren't using 3.0, there's another reason for you guys to look at that. Right? This is really only available with the 3.0 suite of products. So using DRS, we're going to go ahead and automatically load balance across the remaining servers and get that utilization back up to a point where we think we need to be. And you can determine how aggressive or how conservative you want to be. Again, maybe you only power one off. You're happy just getting one. Hey, I'm saving some bucks. I got one server powered off, right? That's okay. Really, that's okay. It's not a problem. If you are in the scenario where you want to go ahead and power two of these off and move them over, then terrific. Maybe it's three, it's four. Maybe over the weekend you get down to half your servers. That's real dollars, right? I mean, you ever measured how much you're paying for each one of those things you plug in? So we're trying to help save you guys money. It's about more than just the money, the environment's great and all that, but really this is managing your data center. And you can power these things back on. So the next morning the demand threshold comes, people start to log back in. You can have this set by a particular time of day if you need to, or most commonly people just say, look, once either 50% of the CPU has been used or a certain percentage of the memory, either or, go ahead and power another server on. Let's give myself some headroom to grow. That server comes on. We go ahead and vMotion everything over to it, again using the DRS to load balance. All right, questions on this? Anybody?
Can you use the power of the server stack on a WAFON LAN or something?
We're using the remote access card, the DRAC. Okay. Yeah, the Dell remote access card is how we're using that today to power these back on.
And then is there a time frame where you... you sample this over a certain time frame.
That's right. And you have control over how long. What we have it set to right now is, I believe it's 10 minutes, where it will go and check, once it reaches below the threshold, it'll watch for about 10 minutes to make sure that there aren't just blips and things like that. And if it drops below that threshold for about 10 minutes, then it's going to go ahead and look to start moving things into maintenance mode. You may set that for an hour. You may set that for 3 hours. Completely configurable. Yeah. It needs a DRAC card to power back on. We can power it off for you.
So it uses IP director then or it uses your management console to do that through the DRAC?
What we're doing is again we're using scripts that are you actually can run the scripts from anywhere that can talk to Virtual Center. I choose to run it on my IT assistant server because I'm already using that, right? So what a great environment to run it on. But it's Java, so you can run it on a Linux server if you prefer, and you can run it pretty much anywhere that's going to be up in part of the environment and can monitor that. So what we're doing is remote accessing the Virtual Center console, checking utilization, and then kicking off scripts for DRAC and IPMI to power things off and on. So it's accessible pretty much anywhere. You could even do this theoretically remotely. If you wanted to watch a remote site, you could monitor that as well. Because again, you're just talking to Virtual Center, light traffic, you're getting IPMI, and DRAC commands are just command lines. It's pretty straightforward.
So you're turning on,
sorry. No, go ahead.
You're turning on DRS to do the migration of
VM. Right, we're just putting it in maintenance mode. If it never gets it off and maintenance mode breaks or for whatever reason can't enter maintenance mode because there's not enough room, then we're done, right?
Okay, so once maintenance mode kicks in, then you're counting on this other script to recognize that it's in maintenance mode and power down the server.
Right. What we do is we wait. So the first thing, it's one script that when it goes ahead and monitors the environment. When the threshold's met, it kicks this guy into maintenance mode.
Okay.
So when it says, all right, I've met all my parameters, I'm going to go into maintenance mode. We push everything over onto the other servers and put this in maintenance mode. Once maintenance mode has been reached, then we go back and look at it, make sure maintenance mode is good. We give it however long you want. I think I have it set for 3 to 5 minutes to go ahead and let the server shut down. And then we power it off through the DRAC. One thing that we're looking to work a little closer with the VMware on is actually that when you shut down ESX, does not do what's called an ACPI command to actually power off the server. It will say service is shut down, and then that's done. You guys probably all know what I'm talking about, right? So what we do is we actually go through with a script behind that to power it off so you can get that cost savings. And you could leave that part out of it, quite honestly, if you wanted to just sit there and then you could do a reset. But you're really not getting your full power savings without it going down and no drain on it. Okay, you've been asking for like 10 minutes. Same way, yeah, you can still power down the blades themselves. You're not going to power down the enclosure, obviously. But you can power down the blades, and you will decrease the overall draw. Yeah, go ahead.
Given that Virtual Center can also set it up as a VCAP to monitor things in the virtual environment,
It could. You could set, and you could run this script on Virtual Center itself, right, if you wanted to. Old school, I don't like to put anything on Virtual Center, and I don't put anything on my Active Directory. Right? I'm happy to let those sit at 10%. And that's essentially what we're doing. We're just running the script from somewhere else so that if it is Java, right? So it's still Java. Love Java. Hate Java. Love Java. Right? So it's okay. We're good friends with Java, but it's still Java. So we're going to run Java and tie into the API. And that's what we're doing. We're tying into the API from Virtual Center, getting that information from it, and then executing commands. But it's a good point. I mean, you could run it from it. Yeah. You had a question? It's going to run in the background on that environment the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, you're just going to run that script, and you could have it set maybe to do like what we did, set it on startup of that environment to just run it. And it goes, and again, it checks to make sure that all the servers are there, healthy, happy, and and you can set, again, it's all configurable, but you can set it to how often you ping. Just to show some agility, we have it for every 3 seconds right now. Where it's monitoring every 3 seconds to see is there any change, how are things doing, what's the utilization. I would drop that down, quite honestly, if I run it in production. Yeah, go ahead.
A follow-up on the Blaze question.
Uh-huh.
The theory was that a patch power supply is efficient.
Correct.
Blaze uses shared power supply, so if I'm cutting down those servers and I'm not putting myself in a situation where I don't want to be in.
That's a good question. The Blaze power supplies are pretty much not as variable the way they run. They're actually going to run at a higher utilization rate in general than you will, where each server has its own dedicated cooling environment. The Blaze, since they're averaging out and they're pulling airflow, they're acting more like a crack unit, quite honestly. They're just constantly pulling air through there. So they're not as variable based off of the load. So probably could make an argument that you might be adding a little bit of inefficiencies to the power supply, but I think you're going to find that pulling two processors and all that memory offline is going to more than make up for the increase that you might see in being slightly more inefficient with your power supply. It's a good point. You probably are going to be a little more efficient. I hadn't thought about the inefficiencies of within a Blade environment. I do know that the way the Blade works, it's not as variable as, say, like a 2950 or a 1950, where we really rev up and rev down based on that individual unit. Because you've got 10 units that you're averaging that across, you're constantly pulling power. Even if you only had 3 Blades, we can't shut down 2 of the fans.
And you can't. Shared power supply is really,
right? Right, exactly. So, yep, go ahead. I thought you were working with me here. Is that? I'm just kidding.
Are your scripts that maybe power server down to do things, are they emission control aware?
Give me an example of what you mean by that.
So in a day or in VRF for that matter, when I set up emission control, what I'm really saying is if this environment is below its ability to recover, do not allow something to start.
Right. Yeah, you'll still have, so again, all we're doing is using the API, good question, and we're using the API to call Virtual Center. So if Virtual Center says, by putting this in a maintenance mode, I'm gonna break any kind of preset rules, it's just gonna fail going into maintenance mode. Right, no, that's a really good point. We don't force it. We're just using the API that says, tell Virtual Center, please put this server in a maintenance mode. If Virtual Center says, I can't put that in a maintenance mode because this other server is offline, then it just doesn't work. In fact, we very well may see that. I just was looking at my server farm and realized that we have an unexpected error, so that's always exciting. So we'll have to see how we deal with that. But that's exactly what we do, is we just do the API. Yeah?
Are you trusting your IT assistant to get that guy go down, that script still
The scripting? No, and that's what I was saying before.
The guy unplugs IT assistant, the box can't get powered up.
Run that by me again. So you're saying if
run the script, you turn off the host.
Okay.
Maintenance guy comes over, flips over IT assist, and in the morning that host cannot come back on.
It wouldn't automatically come back on. That's correct. If you were halfway through your script, in other words, you had powered it off to save your power features, and then you kill that script somewhere in between for whatever reason, unintentionally, there's nobody monitoring that. If you restart that script, it will monitor it and then kick it back on. Or you could understand what happened, because you're probably going to get a lot more alerts. Again, your environments can obviously have some alerts. And if you had that IT assistant in the type of environment we're talking about, where the guy goes in and pulls a power supply or whatever it is, it will automatically roll balance that out somewhere else that can continue it to be running. So that the taking advantage of the first set of scripts to keep your servers up is why I was saying that's sort of laying the foundation for good, smart way of managing these things. But you could find yourself, I suppose, if you try to, I think you'd almost have to try to generate it. But yeah, it's possible you could be in that scenario. And then you just have to restart the script at that point. Which means you could write another script to see if that script is running. Isn't scripting great? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You could put it in, ping it in fail-safe. And it's just Java. So, you know, you could run this on a 4-node Red Hat cluster. Right? So you can do all kinds of great things to make sure that this is highly available. If this script becomes the core of how you manage your data center, I would absolutely either cluster the VMs that it's running on, or the physical servers it's running on, or I would put it in some sort of a Red Hat DSS cluster. Something like that. Not right now, no. Well, I mean, we never have hardware problems. I'm glad nobody threw anything. I really appreciate that. Most of the problems that we see are the same thing everybody else sees. You know, software still crashes, right? We're still running operating systems that have less than perfect environments. And user errors. People do things. So what we're trying to do is help mitigate your risk. It's not, you know, it's not the magic pixie dust. Everybody remember that, the magic pixie dust? In the commercial. This isn't quite magic pixie dust, but we're really getting close, right? I mean, I think the point here and the takeaway is, with some simple steps, you can help manage your environment to be much more highly available without you having to do something about it. And there's really, I don't see a lot of a downside to that. And I'm hoping you guys can enlighten me if there is, so we can try to accommodate for that. And like you said, that could be a scenario that we might want to put in there. This is going to be part of your data center, make it highly available. Which typically we recommend putting it in a VM so it can be load balanced around. So, very well. Yeah?
So, best practice used to be to keep the servers on. And you're saying, turn them off 1,500 times over their lifetime.
Yeah, it depends, right? Most of these servers, when we said best practice was always to keep servers on, it really depends on the environment. We can turn servers off and on. Mechanical failures are more likely to happen when you power servers off and on, right? And that's absolutely true. So do you balance that out? If they're under warranty, we come out and fix it. You know, if you lose a hard drive or something, we'll come out and fix it. Is that really all that big of a scenario to you? It's a business decision. I'm not saying do this no matter what. We're just offering you some tools on a way to be creative with how you manage your environment. There are some risks with you powering servers off and on. That's why we don't make this horribly aggressive. We think if you're powering servers off for 8 to 12 hours at night, you're probably going to be okay over a life of 3 years. Our mean time between failure rates, we cannot see any discernible data between trying to figure out how often you power them off and on. There's really no good number for that to go through and say, well, if you power off a hard drive 185 times, you're going to increase your risk of failing by 1%. We just haven't seen that. We haven't seen any of that data. That's not to say it's not there. I'm being honest. We just don't have data that says one way or the other right now. So from what I've been told, if we would have data that said if there was an increased risk, we would have that data for you guys. I can't guarantee you that that's not a risk. It makes sense to me logically that you would have somewhat of an increased risk the more you power it down and power it back up. But then again, these are typically RAID environments on your servers. I mean, most people power their PCs off and on every day and run those fine for 3 or 4 years. These are hard drives that are going to be robust. They're industry hard drives, and they're usually in a RAID group, and you're monitoring for predictive failures. So the thing I'm really worried about is my hard drives, typically, because that's what spends at 10,000 revolutions per minute, 15,000 revolutions per minute, right? But we have predictive hardware failures. If that hard drive starts to get a little wonky, it's going to let us know. So again, going back to the first part of it, we're trying to monitor, looking for those hardware alerts. That's why running server administrator on the hardware is absolutely critical to being able to get the information that you need from it and then just have it do it for you. If I came up, if I rebooted one of these and had a hardware failure, it's going to automatically pick up on that, put it in maintenance mode, and I'm not going to use it. Questions? Thoughts? Yes. We will have these scripts available, I'll say, by the end of the month. We're really hoping to have them available by the end of next week. But I'm going to go ahead and hedge my bet and say by the end of the month. And there'll be a white paper with a how-to guide to do all that as well. If you buy now... No, I'm just kidding. We'll throw in the white paper for free.
How does one get alerted of these? Will they get an email saying, hey, look what's
out? The scripts are... Yeah, the scripts are available. Brilliant question that I don't have a great answer for you on. Today I would say own this yourself and go get them in 2 weeks. We need to find a better way of distributing that. Unfortunately, it doesn't fall under a standard patch. Just as we're enabling you feature set types of things, so we're going to work with our account teams. So if you have an account team that you work with regularly, hopefully they'll be in contact with you to let you know. If not, feel free to ask your account team. If you can't find them in 2 weeks for whatever reason, or by the end of the month, I should say, but for whatever reason, contact your account team and they can get back to us and we can make sure that you're looking in the right place or we posted them in the right place. So we'll make sure that they're available, but unfortunately I don't have a good automated service to let you know about that. Yes. Yeah, that's where they'll be posted. That's exactly right. We'll post them on the Dell.com/VMware site. So we're hoping they'll be relatively easy to find, and you know, we're proud of them. We want you guys to be able to find them. So we'll... Because it couldn't do things like this. Yeah, understandable. This is, in my opinion, the obvious way to do things. Right? I mean, this isn't revolutionary. This is, hey, yeah, that makes sense. We should be doing this. It's just that piece of tying it all together. DRS was a key component we were looking for. Once we got DRS in place and the ability to put things in maintenance mode, that was the other key component that VMware was provided for us, then we were able to use that a lot better to do what we needed to do. Before, we could get the traps, and we had sort of a rudimentary way of getting the traps and trying to figure out what to do with them. It was too customized, right? We were too far on the other end of the spectrum where you had too many variables you had to customize. This makes it quite simple. This is kind of a one-size-fits-all. Hey, if there's an alert, there's a problem, there's a critical error, get stuff off of it. Again, if you're not healthy, don't come into work. At least that's the whole idea behind it. So that's really, so, you know, as the workday resumes, here. So let's say you come back in at 8 a.m., the workday resumes, and you start load balancing these things back over. One of the things that we've noticed is that even though we started off with more servers, we don't always power the maximum number of servers back on, right? Because I guess we over-procured. We get a pretty good deal on them, so it's understandable. But, you know, the point is that you may find that you can run with N-1 or N-2 number of servers that you originally had, and then that doesn't mean get rid of or do something different with it, but that means, hey, wow, I actually have some capacity. I wasn't sure if I could run. So this is a great way to do a little bit of a gut check of, did you size things the right way? Because if you set your parameter of, you know, only power it on if I go over 60% of CPU utilization and 50% of my memory, and you never power that other server on, you're probably pretty well procured. Yeah? Not yet. That's a great next step that we're actually trying to tie that into the first one. What will happen, though, is when that first server fails, it will overload. It will increase the capacity. So you'll have the capacity from the other servers to take on those VMs, right? When those servers take on the VMs, the other script's going to realize, wow, now we're at 85% capacity. Then it will power on the other server. So it's not an immediate. It's a hop between. It works. It's just... doesn't go directly to it. Yeah?
What's the time of the day at that meeting? Does it do it twice, or do it over 85% for a couple minutes?
That's your decision. Yeah. That's your decision. If you, I don't recommend you do it if it spikes. Right? I think that was probably the answer you're looking for. You can have it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, an hour. You can have it to whatever your comfort level is. And again, it's really whatever your business needs are. I don't expect people to try to tune this down to the nth degree to get an extra half hour of turning their servers off. I think the easy catch is, I mean, geez, even if you just turn them off at 8 o'clock at night and turn them back on at 8 o'clock at night, you're saving power and cooling for 12 hours a day. I mean, that's a lot. And that's not even really fine-tuning. That's just thumb in the air, right? If I drop, you know, everybody goes home and nobody's using it, turn them off. I mean, that's just basically real. And on weekends, too, right? Yes, that's right. It's pulling the virtual center information. It's using virtual center's CPU load on each ESX server. Yeah. So again, we're just using the API. We're simply asking virtual center, could you please tell me how busy this server is? Not trying to figure it out ourselves. Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of throw VMware 8A out the window? If you have that extra capacity and you do have servers that do require that 99.99% availability, you're
going to
take a lot longer to get that up to service.
Right. That's a good point, and that's why the first thing I said is cluster specific. Right? So as you set up your DRS clusters and you've got those apps that are 99.9% and you want to do your HA cluster, maybe this one doesn't participate in the power savings. Right? So that's easy enough to do.
Is there a script written in Perl, a great language?
No, we no longer use Perl because VMware no longer prefers us to use Perl. Java. That was almost a trick question. I smiled the whole time and I simply said, Java, thank you. So we can go through and look at the actual details behind some of this if you guys want to see some of this stuff. This is a point where it's actually going to get a little bit more technical. Unless there's any other questions on how we do this, this is... right, so after hours, we're going to go ahead and move this over. Apparently the emotion's slower to move them back on my slide. Okay, so anyway, that's really where we are. And that's, you know, again, from the conceptual standpoint, that's pretty much it. The Dell.com/virtualization or Dell.com/VMware, either one of those sites will get you the ability to get to these scripts and our resources. Hopefully it's a website you guys are familiar with and going to anyway. It's going to have the latest OpenManage installation scripts and how to, you know, when I say scripts, I mean actual, like, how-to guides or white papers, if you will, on how to install the latest version of OpenManage. And there's some good information there. I mean, there's some things that are not obviously intuitive. An open IPMI driver, you're going to want to put a specific version of in, for example, that I wouldn't have caught. Our engineering group went through and specifically wrote to use OpenIPMI driver with this version. So those are the kinds of things that are in these papers. So do look at them because they're written to help you guys make this easy and they can take advantage of that. So. Please do.
I would not disable HA in this case. We're really talking about two different kinds of events. Everything we're talking about here is more like DRS. It's a proactive kind of environment. HA is a reactive, you know, it's a Microsoft maintenance mode. It's a reason. So now it's going to be part of it. So that's more of a reactive. I don't think you want to do that. It just does it. It really does something different.
Yeah, that's a good point. We specifically had that in mind when we said cluster specific. So you may have different clusters with different resource pools assigned to it to do different things. You know, and again, guys, this is why I started the statement with. This is something that you're going to want to look at. I don't expect everybody to go in and dive into this and go install it by the end of the week and say, cool. But it's the right idea. It's available and it does work. And it really would be great to be able to save a lot of power. Not just for dollar reasons, but just to save power. I mean, we talk to customers all the time that can't get more power. And some of you may never talk to your facilities guys, right? And we talk to people who say, yeah, the facilities guy, I don't even know who he is. Talk to facilities guys and see if saving power for 12 hours a night would help. We had one customer who was telling us that by being able to turn off servers, they could actually get the ambient temperature down about 10 degrees which would help them give that buffer for as the peak load heats up in the morning and their, you know, exchange servers go crazy and their all the other different servers power up and start generating more heat. Give them that buffer to help cover that, right? So the amount of, you know, like we're saying, 50% of the energy is being used for saving. So, for cooling. All right, so we've got a few more minutes here. I wanted to show you. Yeah, we're good with this. Kind of what this looks like, so that it's more than just a concept. It's a reality. All right, so here's, let's see, what we've got here is Virtual Center 3 client. I've got these four servers. One of them has been put into maintenance mode. My script works wonderfully. I just didn't intend for it to be working because I had an error that I hadn't intended to have. But this is an open console, again, just through a web browser of server administrator. So I can go through and check the health of this server. And what we can do is generate some alerts or some errors and see if we can put something into maintenance mode. So we're going to go ahead and connect to a server. Those of you looking to get a good jump on lunch, now is the time to go, by the way, because it's going to be busy. But this is going to show us. All right, so let's go. We connect to a 2950 here, and I'm just going to go ahead and generate an alert. So I'm going to go generate a temperature alert, and I'm going to really cause my cluster some havoc because I'm down one server, so we'll have to see what it does to accommodate for that. So I'm changing my threshold to say that 22 degrees Celsius is the maximum, so I'm pretending like I've generated a heat warning. Question, Josh? Or no? Oh, okay. No stretching in this room. All right. Well. Perfect. So here it is. So as soon as I generate that alert, you'll notice that VI3 has put that server into maintenance mode and is rapidly vMotioning my VMs off of that. That quick, right? Because sometimes that's how long you have. So, that was the last speaker. He's still not doing well. Yeah, no kidding. So what I did is generated the alert, and I'm vMotioning its load off of this guy, and when he's done, he's going to drop this server into maintenance mode. So we're quickly getting everything off of that. And this is a little bit watching grass grow, but hopefully not as boring. But I want you guys to see it. This is it, right? This is really what we're showing you on the slide, and that is, we've got one more to go, apparently. I said I was going to put these things in a world of hurt, because I really did put quite a load on it. So what we'll see here, and so now it's in maintenance mode. So if that server goes down, I'm okay with that, right? I mean, I'm not really, but I'm not going to affect my workload and my users. So now if I go back to this console and un-alert myself and say, oh, just kidding, everything's fine, everything's great. So maybe you replace whatever it was, you repair your problem. So we've kicked the ambient temperature back to normal. Okay, so now we're going to go through and pull this out of maintenance mode. And DRS is still load balancing a little bit on this. And I have a server coming up in the background as well, so let me go check on that using the remote access. No, when I changed it to, I just did it. When I changed it, remember I just said I flipped the alert back off? When I flipped the alert back on to say the ambient temperature was great, monitoring script said, hey, if everything's good, it's like a good manager, right? Feeling good today? You're not sick anymore? Here you go. Right? That's what it does. So as soon as it realizes that there's no more alerts, thank you, it will go ahead and pull it out of maintenance mode, and DRS gives it some more workload to do. No, this is the first script I'm showing you where it's just putting it into maintenance mode so you can fix your hardware. So I'm generating an SNMP trap that says, in this case, I just generated one that says it's too hot. But whatever it was, you could generate a scrap. If I had a hard drive, I'd pull it, but I don't. So if I pulled a hard drive, you would generate a trap, and then you're not going to want to use that server while it's in degraded state, right? Somebody comes along, fixes that hard drive, RAID 5 rebuilds, no longer in degraded state, all systems go, and then it pulls it out of maintenance mode and automatically puts it back to work. Yeah, it was unrelated. Actually, it was a different box. The remember, I told you that I had an unexpected error. Yeah, the box here actually gave me a battery on the PERC 5 error, and so I had to service it, and it wanted to reboot, so I let it reboot. So completely unrelated. Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse you. All I did, to be specific, was pull out the second server from the top of maintenance mode by fixing its health. I made it healthy. Anybody else? You feeling sick? I got the hands. Make you healthy. Right here. I can't cure hangovers, though. Otherwise, I'd be rich, and I wouldn't be doing this. Okay, so that's really that piece. You know, in the sake of time and for the sake of hunger, what we can do is I'll be able to show you guys this. Let me show you what we're doing. I'll give you the quick Rowan. So let me go ahead and connect back to the ICA server. And I'll show you that what I've got running in the background. All right. This is where the script for the power management is running. And you can see that this is the script in the background. And this is the script that's running the power save. And if you ever need to check to see, I'm fighting with a command line window here. There we go. I'm losing badly. So I can go check and see. If you're ever wondering, right, so you can see in here, this is just going to give you a nice view of what's going on. And you'll see active server count is 4, do nothing, which means everything's fine. The VM count's 13, server count's 4. Here's my memory threshold, my CPU usage. So it's going to go through here, and you can see at one point it actually did power off the server. And if I go turn off some scripts, we'll get some more. See where we are now. Max threshold time, so it's looking. See, and that's what I have for steady state of 30 seconds, just for the demo purpose. You're asking how long can I have it look, because it's just a demo. So max threshold is reached, waiting for steady state for 30 seconds. And then once it reaches that threshold and it gives you an actual time, then it will go on and power on that server. If that max threshold has been reached and it needs more server, it'll go ahead and power it on. The other way to look at this is that you could bring up a server. Let's say you're planning on using it. Bring up a server ahead of time. Go ahead and let it add it into the cluster and then leave it off and then have that capacity on demand. Right? That's sort of the flip side of the way you look at that, is rather than just having your standard cluster and powering them off and on, maybe you've got servers available that you don't want to have powered on for whatever reason.
No,
I have them set for everything, and it's completely your configuration.
Where does that get configured?
No, actually, what I do is the script, so we're talking about for the first part, right? For alerts, yeah. So for the first part, I have it set that the script is fairly straightforward. It just puts it into maintenance mode and pulls it out of maintenance mode. The fun part is that again, through IT Assistant is where I have it monitoring. I can set, you do it two ways. You filter and say these servers, I'm watching these 4 servers, and if I get, and this is where you choose what level of alerts, critical alerts, then run this script. Or all alerts, then run this script. Today I have it set for all alerts. No, the server knows what's critical or not. So the server by default, when you set up server administrator, has when you set that up, it's got critical, it's got default values for everything. So it knows what's critical. As an example, when I changed the ambient temperature, I generated a warning. If I had let it get any higher into the red mark, that would be critical.
Okay.
And it'll actually shut the server down if it gets critical so you don't damage the server. And that's independent of everything we're doing. I'm just giving you an example of the difference between, there's informational that might say something like, hey, the RPMs on this fan are running 10% over what we usually expect them, or they're varying or whatever, kind of an informational thing. And then there's warning that says you've reached a warning threshold, and these are all default loaded when you load the server.
So if we decided to change our threshold and servers,
what would we do? I wouldn't change the CPU threshold on those servers. Let DRS figure that out. Right. I would use ITA to push out that to all your different servers. Okay, thank you. All right, so I'm happy to stick around and take questions, but I'm not going to stand between you and lunch. So thank you, everybody, for your time. I really appreciate the questions. I was hoping to show you that we've got something pretty neat you guys can use today. So let me know if follow-up questions or what have you.